Victory over darkness, part 4. We are finishing this morning. Hallelujah.
Amen.
I believe that this series has been a blessing to you. Basically, what the essence of this series is, Christians are struggling a lot. Even those clapping this morning, yourself, you are struggling because you are fighting an enemy you don't know much about. That's the reality. Many Christians don't even know that they have an enemy, which is even worse. Those who know that they have an enemy don't know how to fight him. So I've spent the whole month of Jan introducing you to the possibility of you having, you know, I remember the first day I defeated Satan. Like practically. I remember that day because, you see, it was a good day. You know, I was used to Satan defeating me every day. You know, like every single day, he has to take me down. He has to make me lose my joy. He has to make me feel useless. That he was defeating me every day. And I was a good Christian, so to say. But I remember the first day I felt, I think if I could see Satan, he would be saying, no, today you got me. And that was the beginning of a series of victories against Satan. Then I defeated him when he told me I could not get married. I defeated him there. He told me I could not get papers. I defeated him there. He told me I could not get a job. I defeated him there. He told me I could not be a pastor. I defeated him there. Like I just started experiencing a series of victories over him. You are about to start experiencing a series of victories over Satan.
Amen.
I know some of you are used to being defeated just like I was before. You are used to him getting his way. Some of you even fear him. You think that he is so great, nobody can defeat him. But you see, as I start coaching you, because every good fighter that will win games and fights must be coached. And even Mike Tyson had a coach. I say even Mike Tyson had, every great boxer has a coach. Ask the person sitting next to you, well, now who is your coach? No wonder you are beaten every fight. In fact, round one, beaten. Round two, beaten. Round three, KO. Just like that. Just like that. But that story is about to change in the name of Jesus. I see you surprising the one that has been defeating you. In the name of Jesus. And I started beating Satan in the mind, which is very difficult. I started defeating him in that turf where he was ruling me. He will hit me one bad thought and I will paralyze me for days. I don't know what to do with myself. I didn't know how to fight thoughts. I had to learn. The man standing before you was defeated so many times before. As I'm standing here as a testimony of what God can do when you apply what he's telling you. Listen to me. Your Christianity doesn't have to be what it is now. A Christianity of pretense. A Christianity of appearing to be something you are actually not. A Christianity of fake testimonies and fake praises. It doesn't have to be. God doesn't need help to be God. You can actually be a true winner. But that is if you are interested in the things I'm teaching. And I can say that some of you are not interested because you listen to it on Sunday and that's it. Many people have put their teacher in the corner. Just like we do in school. We go to school 8 to 4 or 8 to 3. So that's the time we allocate to this teacher. After that, that's it. He will see me next day or whenever. So we allocate the pastor a couple of minutes on Sunday morning. After he says amen and we say the grace, see you next Sunday, pastor. In between there, I call all my other teachers. No wonder there's defeat. No wonder there's defeat. Show me the members of ABC that even have cast box, where over 136 messages I have preached are inside. Since 2000 and something. They don't even know those messages are. They don't check. They're not interested. Come and find me searching messages whenever God gives me a person. Come and find me fighting to get the messages of that person. Christian thing, they will just sit there and things will be given to them. Victory will just be given to them. It's not like that. Please, it's not like that. There is a fight for you to get married. There is a fight for you to get a job. There is a fight for you to even stay alive. There is a fight. There is a fight for you to even be happy in your marriage. So after you get the thing, now you need another fight. It's a fight all the time. This washy-washy Christianity people are busy with, and they call it grace. You see, Paul says, I work harder than all of them, not I, but the grace that was in me. It's washy-washy Christianity people are saying grace, grace, grace. Grace has become a license for them to sin, license for them to not do anything, license for them to just sit and dream and expect things that will never happen. That's not Christianity. It's not. The Christianity I know and the devil that we've learned, you fight. That's why you have scriptures like I fought the good fight of faith. Scripture like praise be to God who gives us always victory in Christ. The weapons of our warfare are not carnal. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, against principalities. Why do we think we have such verses? Because there's a real fight, my friend. There's a real fight and there's a real enemy. My prayer for you is that you will become aware of this fight. And you will stop just being serious on Sunday morning for 2 minutes. You realize that you have fought every single second of your life. And that it is necessary for you to acquire the skills today. Yeah, I'm not going to tell you that it was easy for me, that it has been easy. It's not easy to wake up and pray for hours, but I know if I don't do it, I start losing ground. That is how it is. You see, Jesus told the disciples, the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. So that it's up to you to decide who is going to be in charge, your spirit or your flesh. When your flesh is in charge, you flow with your flesh. When your flesh, I want to sleep, you take it there. I want to watch TV, you do that. I want to talk, you do that. The spirit will be screaming, but you haven't prayed today. Yeah, I will do it. If you haven't listened to a podcast in 3 days now, I'll do it. You are losing ground. Before you realize, you start becoming unspiritual and carnal. And if you keep letting it flow that way, before you realize, you start losing the appetite of the things of the spirit. You begin to be more drawn to the things of the world, the things of the flesh. Yeah. It was Billy Graham that gave us the story about how the flesh and the spirit fight. And I want to give it to you as I'm closing my series this morning. He said, there was a man who had two dogs. One dog was black, the other was white. And this guy was in the business of dog fights. So he would bring his two dogs, place them in a square, and people would come and bet the white dog will win, the black dog will lose. He said, everybody this time will say, when the people are saying the wild dog will lose, he will say the wild dog will win. So he will bet the wild dog and everybody will bet the black dog. At the end of the fight, the wild dog will win and the black dog will lose. He will go with the money home. The next week, they will now come and say, no, today the wild dog is going to win. Then he will say the black dog will win and the wild dog will lose. And then he will win them again. But they say, no, no, no. This is not possible. How possible is it that every time you know the dog that's going to win? I mean, dogs don't listen. They just fight. How come you always get it right? He said to them, I have a simple technique. When I want the wild dog to win, I feed him. And I don't feed the black dog. So I give the wild dog food and the black dog, I let it starve. So on the day of the fight, the wild dog is strong and the black dog is weak. So he wins. Next week, I just reverse. I make the black dog starve and I make the wild dog starve and the black dog to eat and they win. Then Billy Graham said, that is exactly how your spirit and your flesh are. Your spirit is like a dog and your flesh is also like a dog. And they constantly engage in fights. But the one who wins the fight is the one you have fed the most. If your spirit will win this fight, it means you have fed your spirit. The one you feed is the one that wins the fight. When you are always feeding your flesh, don't be surprised when you can't be spiritual. Don't be surprised because there is a specific one you are feeding. So I just want you to come out of dreams and, you know, all these things people like just dreaming and dreaming and your years are going by and you are just dreaming. Take responsibility. Realize that God did not come to do everything for us. He came to help us. The Holy Ghost is a helper, not a doer of everything. He is a helper. You and I have to take responsibility. You have to take responsibility over your spiritual growth. You have to take responsibility over your development, even your emotional development. That if you are not developing emotionally, you will not grow emotionally. You will be 30 years old still behaving as a child. Still getting hurt by the smallest mistakes that even children are crying for. You'll be crying for them. Because you're not emotionally developed. And you cannot be emotionally developed except you engage things emotionally. So I'm coming to challenge you to know that I've been teaching you on how Satan fights us. And last week I was showing you that actually Satan is an expert of surprises and traps and camouflages. That's what he does. Most of the problems you are faced with today, most of the problems you are struggling with today came as a surprise. You didn't expect them. You thought you were getting this and this is what came. That's how it is. Now, you can choose to flow with what I'm saying. Now, if you are now asked, since last week, how many voices did you listen to? You'll be surprised. The only voice some people listened was the one they heard that Sunday. Till from then until now, they haven't listened to anything. So the spirit is empty. The spirit is empty. The faith is low, sometimes in non-existent. So you find that when the fight comes, you don't have what it takes. You are like a dog that was not fed. Oh, Pastor Bet, how? Yeah, this is every day. Give us daily, daily. Prayer is not something you do once a week. Prayer is something you do with that season. So if you want to, it's like you are saying to somebody, you know, I want to be a runner, but I don't want to practice every day. Then forget. You cannot win any medal if you are not willing to practice the discipline of running every day. You can't win. You can't win the heavenly crowns if you are not willing to pay the price daily. That is what this thing is all about. I know some of you pray from time to time, but I want you to know that praying once in a while cannot help you defeat the devil that is fighting you every minute. You have to be on your guard. You have to be building muscles all the time on your own. Sometimes the demons that are fighting you are changed. They are not the same. For example, every new year, new things are introduced in the world. New companies introduce new product. Satan has a company. They told us that, you know, we wrestle against principalities. He's got different types of things. So he introduces new enemies to you from time to time. Once he sees that you have defeated this one, he has to change him. I mean, do you think he's stupid to keep sending the same person you have already defeated? He changes them. But there you are thinking you are still fighting the old guy. Meanwhile, it has been changed. Or there's been reinforcement. The Bible says when an evil spirit is cast out, he doesn't go away for long. He comes back to check. When he comes and sees that you defeated him and you took relaxation, he goes and gets 7 more wicked. Now, I hope you understand that by the time he's coming back, he's not the same again. He's coming with more reinforcement to make your case worse than before. That's why when people backslide, they become rebels. Why? Because it's not just the sin that they have now committed. It's that other demons have been added to the equation to make them worse. Receive grace to defeat darkness in the name of Jesus. And it's something you have to fight daily. I insist on that on this, my last session. You need to understand that for you to defeat Satan, he's very stubborn. One of the qualities of a person that is demon possessed, for you to know that demons are in the life of a person, one of the number one characteristics is stubbornness. Stubbornness is by far the number one indication that there is a demon in a person. Because demons don't give up easily. They don't want to go. They are very stubborn. So usually they impart that same nature on the people they are inside. Like if they are inside you, they will impart you stubbornness. You just become stubborn. The Bible says the madman of Gadara, nobody could bind him. Do you understand? Nobody could lead him anywhere. He was breaking. Even if you put chains on him, he breaks them. You cannot correct. When you are a person, nobody can control. Nobody can talk to you. Nobody can advise you. Nobody can direct you. You are under demonic subjection. You are actually under satanic possession. And you might never manifest, make a noise. You might even be very quiet. But you are quietly stubborn. And unknown to you is one of the number one characteristics of the devil who never gives up, who is always chasing. Yeah. You are being freed as this word is being preached. Anybody that has been overpowered by the spirit of stubbornness, your parents cannot talk to you, your pastor cannot talk to you, your husband or your beloved, nobody can speak to you. Your wife cannot advise you. That demon of stubbornness, you must cast it out of your life, my friend. In the name of Jesus Christ. We are not stubborn people. It is snakes that are stubborn. Sheep follow. It is snakes and goats. And goat is the number one characteristic of Satan. He takes the nature of a goat. And one of the characteristics of a goat is stubbornness. Stubbornness. Praise God. Amen. Do you believe that is not even my message? But I'm sure it's a blessing to somebody somewhere out there. Somebody's going to be blessed by that. You shall never be stubborn. Amen. Hallelujah. You will be harmless as a dove. Amen. Yeah. You follow advice. That is how your life changed. Our stubborn people are always stuck because they can't follow instructions. They get offended at instruction. They take it personal. And it destroys them. And that is one of the manipulations of the devil. To just impart stubbornness on you and lead you astray. Just lead you astray with stubbornness. Show me one stubborn child that did well in life. That the father speak, you don't listen. The mother speak, you don't listen. The uncle speak, you don't. Show me one that did well with stubbornness. You see, when we talk about victory over darkness, you are thinking of this thing. This is what I'm talking about. That's what I'm talking about. I'm talking about that laziness that has plagued you. That you are just plain lazy. And laziness is another characteristic of demons. You'll be surprised that they make you lazy for anything that is going to advance your life. But things that destroy your life, they make you excited and energetic about them. That is how to identify darkness working against you. Another one is disloyalty. Anything that comes to cause you to cut yourself off from people God has given you that are a blessing to you. Satan is a separatist. That's his work. When he gets somewhere, there must be division. When Satan is in a place, people must not see things eye to eye. There mustn't be agreement. There must be groups. A separatist. He entered Judas. The next thing, Judas is out of the group. And look at the end of Judas. Look at all the other ones that stayed in the group. Look at what happened to them. Do you think Judas was manifesting demons and people were doing deliverance on him? No. Coolly. But there were spirits working in him, giving him information. I was talking last week about voices. There are voices, not only the voice of God, there are also voices of demons that people are following, that are misleading them through deception. You shall be free from all those things in the name of Jesus. As I close this morning, I'm going to give you one simple key. I hope you're already blessed just by what I have shared so far. Let's come back to our verse quickly here, and as we close, Luke 10:17, the Bible says, and the 70 returned again with joy, saying, Lord, even the devils are subject unto us through thy name. And he said unto them, I beheld Satan as lightning fall from heaven. I have been teaching on all of this the whole month. Behold, I give you power. That is what I want to quickly close on this morning. He says, behold, I give you power. Which power is this Jesus talking about? If Satan is defeating you every day, but he says, I give you power. What power did he give us? He says, I give you power to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy. Another thing you see is the enemy has also power. And it says, nothing shall by any means hurt you. Praise God. So the power of the enemy is designed to hurt. Hurt is not physical. When you are having a wound on your body, we say it's an injury. You're injured. You must learn English. When we say you are hurt, do you get it? It's usually something inside. When somebody, you hear something, now I'm very hurt. There's no blood. What are they talking about? They are talking about inside hurt. And this verse is telling you that nothing shall by any means hurt you. Now, he is revealing to you that one of Satan's job is to cause you to be hurt. All the time. That is what he specializes in. Because Satan is a spirit. He's not a physical body. So his ability to affect you physically is not as quick and as better as he will affect you spiritually, because he's a spirit being. And you yourself, you are a spirit being. You are created in the image of God. So he tries as much as he can to cause you to be hurt. And there you are thinking it is people hurting you. You see how untrained you are about who is actually fighting you. Nothing shall hurt you, the Bible says. Nothing. So, according to Jesus, you're not supposed to be hurt by anything. People can do this, Satan can manipulate this, but you should be able to still say, I went through it and I didn't get hurt. I went through it, I didn't get offended to the point of changing myself and the point of becoming a bitter person. Hurt people turn into bitter people. Offended people. In this life, there will be so many opportunities to be hurt. And you will be judging people, not knowing the real cause of those hurts. Satan himself orchestrating demons to cause people to not greet you so you can get hurt. Especially when he sees what hurts you. He will arrange circumstances, people to ignore you after you've done something so that you get hurt. People do not say thank you after you have done something good for them, because he senses those type of things. You are very, very much vulnerable to appreciations. Receive grace to not be hurt anymore in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Now, what power is Jesus talking about as we are closing? He says, I give you power over the power of the enemy. And the enemy we saw last week was snakes and scorpions. Hallelujah. So what type of power do snakes have? Hallelujah.
Amen.
Do you know how people are scared of snakes? You know, we are scared of something sometimes that is just this size. Sometimes even this size. So small. But if it lands where you are sitting now as you are watching me, only God knows the damages that will be produced. I'm telling you. There are big dogs that you see every day. Say, hey, Shiman, don't try. Don't even try me. But you see something smaller. It looked like a stick. So small. But when you see it, hey! People have destroyed themselves before they think can destroy them. I'm telling you. You come and find us fighting, running away. But what type of power does this thing have that is causing us to be so scared? I'm telling you, when I'm watching National Geographic, I see that guy. I change the channel very, very fast. He's on TV. He cannot come and catch me. But if he's just looking through the camera, I say, Wena, Wena, Wena. Please, stay away. I remember one time I was watching them and I was watching, and I don't know whether it was my daughter that touched my leg. Hey! I said, hey! No, I heard a story of a lady who went to buy leggings. She went and bought leggings that have the shape of snakes, you know, like the skin of a snake. And the end of the legging was the head of the snake. She bought those leggings, and you never told her husband that she's bought leggings that are like snakes. So she bought those leggings, and she's wearing them, and she's sleeping. The man comes and sees something poking out of the linen. He said, hey, there's a snake inside here. He went and took a stick. Bam! The woman said, hey! So you keep going and buying leggings of snakes. You see what will happen. You keep buying leggings of snakes. You are coming around playing with snakes. Even the snake toys, I hate it. Even if I know it's a plastic. But once you see that thing move, it does something. It does something if you are honest. Hey, please, if you like, go and say, Pastor, it's just, I'm like you. We are together. It is the grace of God that is making me to be what I am. Without the grace of God, I'm just like you. Yeah. I will never forget the day my wife told me that she killed a snake. I said, hey, you kill a snake. I should kill one also. I was trying to date her, and she was giving me her CV. She had killed a few. I said, wow. And I've been running away from them. And I needed to upgrade my CV as well. I see you upgrading your CV in the name of Jesus. Praise God. Hallelujah. What power do snakes have that will cause you to be so scared of them? It's very simple. It's called venom. There is something in them called venom. You see, the snake doesn't have hands to arrest you and strangle. He doesn't have those things. No. He doesn't even have legs to run after you. He's got something inside him. It's called venom. If one drop of that thing touches you or enters you, that's your end. If nothing is done. Now, you think about it. The snake carries something so deadly inside him, he is not dying. But if he touches you with it, you are dead. But he is carrying the whole bag inside him. And he doesn't die. It's not that when the saliva and this, you see, what do you call venom? It's actually the snake's saliva. Do you understand? It is his saliva that turns into venom. Where now your saliva, what has, you see, his saliva can kill somebody. Your saliva is just chasing people away, especially after this 21 days of prayer and fasting. When you open your mouth, people are just, no. We are changing. Hallelujah. Are you understanding? The snake has power. And his power is not anything else. It's the venom inside him. Inside the poison, yes. That poison inside him. And that thing comes out of his mouth. Do you understand? That thing comes from the mouth. And that thing can kill an entire village. The study has been done that one snake can kill a whole village. One. By just biting each one small, they all died. Now God says, I have given you power over the power of the enemy. And the power of the enemy is in his mouth. Guess what? The power God has also given you is located in the same place that he gave Satan power, the mouth. Proverbs 18:21, death and life are in the power of the tongue. How do I defeat Satan? Today, I'm telling you, if you can learn how to use your tongue, the same way Satan uses his tongue to attack and bite and poison, God has also given you a tongue to use the same capacity to counteract everything that Satan is trying to do against you. Hallelujah. And God is the number one user of his mouth to fight darkness. The Bible says in Genesis chapter 1, verse 2 to 3, now the earth was formless and empty, and darkness was over the face of the whole earth. The verse 3 now says, and God said, let there be light, and there was light. That is how you fight darkness. God fought darkness by using his words. The power of life and death is right here. The same thing the snake has that makes big people run away. God gave you the same thing. Right in your mouth. Right here. The battle between David and Goliath was not a battle of power. Was a battle of mouth. Was a battle of words. 1 Samuel 17, 43 to 47. So the Philistines said to David. So Goliath, why are you speaking? Again, you have power. Just come and fight. No. Goliath knew that every fight is won by words. So the Philistines said to David, am I a dog that you come to me with sticks? And the Philistine cursed David by his gods. Do you understand? He now started cursing. How do you curse a person? You use words to curse. So he started cursing David. Remember, Balak went to Balaam and said to him, come and curse these people for me before I can fight them. Use words on them. Poison their power. The Philistine cursed David by his God. And the Philistine said to David, come to me. I will give your flesh to the birds of the air and the beasts of the field. You see, he spoke curses and he decreed the end of the battle. He says, I'm going to give your flesh to the birds and to the beasts of the field. Like, I'm already telling you, you're going to die. Come, let me fulfill this prophecy I'm saying over you. Then David said, do you understand? Everybody is hitting. The snake has sent his venom. Now, the Bible says, then David said to the Philistine, you come to me with a sword and a spear and with a javelin, but I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defied. Listen, this day the Lord will give you into my hands. He's prophesying. He's already sending also his words. And I will strike you. I will take your head from you. He's telling him, I will remove your head. A small boy, he's talking to a giant. He's telling him, I'm going to remove your head today. Why? Because both understood where the fight is fought. There is a movie called Hero by Jet Li. You must watch that movie. In that movie, there is a particular fight where Jet Li has to fight this guy, but they are not fighting. They are just looking at each other like this. And then they take us to the other realm. In the other realm, they are fighting ferociously. But in the physical, they are just looking at each other like this. But when you go to the other realm, it was something else. In that other realm, Jet Li defeated the guy. So after that, he just opened his eyes, just ran in a slow motion, turn around and spin and stop like this. Then I look at the other guy, slow motion, falling down. The battle was won in the realm of the spirit. Here it was just a manifestation. David defeated Goliath long before he threw the stone. He told him, I'm going to take your head off. God is going to give you to me. And he says, and this day, I will give the carcasses of the camp of the Philistines to the birds of the air and the wild beasts of the earth, that all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel. You see, Goliath only spoke a few words. David spoke, he had more prophecies. And after he spoke like this, he went to fight. He didn't give Goliath a chance to speak again. You know the end of that battle. You know it very well. He threw one stone. A mountainous man fell down. He came and took the sword of the man, cut off his head. The same way he said. So you see that what you say is what you see. The Bible says, and God said, let there be light. And there was light. Verse 4 says, and God saw that the light was good. What you say is what you see. That is how you fight darkness. The battle of Jesus against Satan was a battle of words. Peter took him aside and said, and started to rebuke him. Never, Lord. He said, this shall not happen to you. Jesus turned and said to Peter. Peter was speaking. Satan was speaking through Peter. Lord, this cannot happen to you. Do you know that sometimes somebody speaks to you and you become so afraid? When that happens to you, know that that person didn't speak. Satan spoke. There are people, when they start speaking, you just become afraid. Satan is speaking through them and you are watching. And you are not speaking back. You are not using your words to fight the darkness that is coming. Somebody is prophesying that you will not fulfill your mission. You will not become what God sent you to be. You will not become this thing. No, it will not happen. He's saying to Jesus, it will never happen. Hey, do you know how many people came to you and said, this will never happen? When I look at your life, I don't think this can happen. Hey, they are prophesying. They are sending venom. Satan is speaking. The reason I'm reading this one, not the one of Jesus and Satan talking in the wilderness, because I wanted you to know that today you might not see, you might never be in the wilderness with the desert with Satan. But Satan will enter a person and come and start speaking to you. Jesus turned and said, get thee behind me, Satan. I can recognize it's you speaking. He spoke. Your battle against Satan and darkness is a battle of words. It is the venom coming this side and the word coming this side. Revelation 12 verse 11, they overcame. by the blood of the Lamb. And by what? By what? The word. We overcome with words. That's how you defeat the enemy. Words. 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 Why must you use words? And there are three ways I want to teach you to use words as I'm closing. Number one, overcome the devil through prophesying. That is one of the ways you use. Do you use your words? By prophecies. Hallelujah. Timothy 1:18. This command I entrust to you, Timothy, my son, in accordance with the prophecies previously made concerning you, that by them you might fight the good fight. You fight the good fight with prophecies. Paul is telling Timothy, I'm reminding you of the prophecies spoken over you. Use those prophecies to fight. People sat last year and watched the year finish, a year of double multiplication. They watched it finish with their mouth closed. They didn't do nothing. Because the thing will fulfill itself. The Bible says, let the redeemed of the Lord say something. If you are redeemed, you must speak. The Bible says, by your words, you are justified. And by your words, you are condemned. The Bible says, let the weak say, I am strong. Let the poor say, I am rich. You have to speak something. The Bible says, use the prophecies to fight. Use prophecies to fight. No, the Bible says, this is my year of preaching the word. I cannot die in 2021. Have I preached the word already? I haven't preached the word yet. I'm supposed to preach the word. As long as I don't preach the word, I cannot die. You are just sitting there, letting Satan tell you Corona is going to catch you. And you're going to die. This one is going to die. That one is going to die. He said, no, 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 no. Dead people can't preach. Satan, dead people can't preach. This is my year of preaching the word. I will live another year to preach the gospel, Satan. The Bible says, 1,000 can fall at my side, 10,000 at my right. It shall not come to me. That is what I believe, Satan. I believe that with my eyes I will see the reward of the wicked, but I will not be a part of that reward. You speak. You speak. You speak like David spoke. You decree what you want to see. Ezekiel is in front of a deadly situation. Son of man, can this boy live? Oh Lord, you know everything. I don't know. Prophesy. Prophesy. Speak to the bones. Many of us, the enemy has taken us to a valley of dry bones. Nothing is working. Everything is dry. Relationships are dry. The pockets are dry. Their bank accounts are dry. Everything is dry. Son of man, can you survive the pandemic? Oh Lord, you know everything. No, 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 no. Prophesy. Speak to the circumstances. Speak to the situation. Don't close your mouth. Don't be ashamed to decree what you believe. Speak to the circumstances. Son of a woman, will this guy marry you? The way he's going about, the way he's playing games, are you sure you are still the one? Are you sure he hasn't replaced you? And you're also like, I don't know. Then you start getting agitated. You start getting agitated. You start getting hurt. You start crying. Every night you are crying. No, 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 no. That is not how we do it. You say to him, Satan, listen to me and listen to me very good. I am the apple of God's eye. Long before I was created, God had already chosen my husband for me. If this is the guy, I see him putting a ring in this finger. And then go and take the ring you bought from China, that Chinese shop. They say, you see, one day he's going to do like this. Satan, look, he's going to do just like this. He's going to put it inside this finger, Satan. And then you take anointing oil. You say, this finger shall be ringed in the name of Jesus. This finger shall have a ring. Look, you want to sit there and think, no, if he loves me, he will marry me. You don't understand this fight. If you think you're going to sit there and if he loves me, he will marry me. And you don't understand what you are dealing with. This fight, you fight with prophecies. You fight with prophecies. Before 2021 is over, I am a married man. Before it is over, I have a job. Mark 11:23, I tell you, Jesus says, if anyone says to this mountain, what is a mountain? An obstacle. Something doesn't want to move. Nothing is more stubborn than mountains. They don't want to move. But he says, even mountains will respond to prophecies, words, the power. He says, I give you power. What are you doing with the power? It's like a traffic cop. He has the power to stop cars. Have you noticed if a traffic cop is inside his car, he will never stop a car? Have you noticed that before in your life? As long as he's inside his car eating KFC, we are passing. We are not minding him. But the moment he leaves that car and you see him walk out, your heart starts beating. Hey, Lord, let it not be me. And when he does like this, he doesn't have the power to stop your car. But once he does this, the car will stop. God says, I have given you the same power. You see, as long as you are sleeping, things will continue running up and down, up and down, up and down. Yet you carry the authority and the power. He says, get out of your bed, stand on your ground and say, stop. You will be amazed. A truck, a whole truck. Stop. He says, if you say to this mountain, go! Throw yourself into the sea and does not doubt in your heart. And how do you make sure you don't doubt in your heart? It's something you've been thinking about. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Things that you've been reminiscing and meditating, they are getting in your heart. When you say them, too much power. Too much power. I'm not talking about, hey, I'm a millionaire. Hey, I'm married. But you've never really taken time. You are just speaking in the air. There's no power. Power comes as a result of meditation. That's why the Bible says that, my child, do not depart from this. Be meditating, be spending time, thinking about it, meditating, praying about it. Then when you say it, you are unlocking too much power. Karabayandaraba sheka paladabarabagadaba. The second way by which you can use your words is through prayer. The first one is prophecy. Second one, prayer. Hallelujah. Amen. The Bible says the earnest prayer of a righteous person has great power. Yeah. And produces wonderful results. That is James 5:16, New Living Translation. It has power. And how do you pray? You use words to pray. You are using words. Well, and you are even spitting. When I'm praying, there's a lot of saliva that is coming. It's power. I'm releasing power like a snake. I'm speaking. If I'm praying in tongues in front of a mirror, you will not see yourself in that mirror. Because there will be too much saliva on it. I am spitting my venom over the venom of the devil. The Bible says, whatever you bind on earth, how do you bind things? How do you bind them? You have to speak. You bind by saying something. He says, if you cast out the devils, they will go. How do you cast them out? You have to use your words. You are just sitting there. But I see you standing in the name of Jesus. Amen. Number three, how do you defeat the devil through word? By preaching. The first one is by prophesying. Second one is by praying. The third one is by preaching. 1 Corinthians 1:18, the Bible says, for the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved, it is the power of God. The preaching of the cross is the power of God. The preaching of the cross is the power of God. The preaching of the cross is the power of God. I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God. The preaching of the cross is the power of God. The preaching of the cross is the power of God. And this is your year of preaching the word. It means it's your year of power. Your year of power. If you will just then open your mouth and start preaching. What happened when you preach? When you preach, spirits are released. Ezekiel 2:2. And the Spirit entered into me when he spoke. When I listen to people preaching, spirits are entering me. And they are fighting the demons that are trying to destroy me. Oh yeah. That's why I listen to preaching all the time. Why? I give an opportunity to the Holy Ghost to enter me. When you start preaching the word, spirits start entering into the situation. Why must you preach? When you preach, you release seeds. The Bible says that the meaning of the parable, just Luke 8 verse 11, the seed is the word. When you are preaching, you are throwing seeds. Everything you see is the result of a seed. Oh yeah, seeds. Spoken words are swords. Ephesians 6 verse 17, take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. I hope you remember Jesus was one time preaching and there was a man in the church that was demon possessed. The person started screaming. Why? The swords were cutting the demons. Preaching the word releases a sword in your mouth. Many of you, the sword that comes out of my mouth has set you free from so many things that you yourself you don't know about. Every time I'm preaching, a sword is released and is cutting, like I was talking about, the spirit of stubbornness, the spirit of pride is cutting those demons, all those things that you just find yourself free. Why? When you preach, a sword is released. A sword is released. And when you subject yourself to preaching, when you allow, like I was teaching last week, when you allow this word to come again, you allow your ears to hear the word. You are opening yourself up to swords. And those swords enter you. And they start slicing these demons that have been messing up with your life. Spoken words are light. Psalm 119 verse 105. Your word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. That's how you defeat darkness with light. And light is found in the word. Spoken word. Spoken words are like fire. Jeremiah 20 verse 9. But if I say, I will never mention the name of the Lord or speak in his name, his word burns in my heart like fire. It's like a fire in my bones. I am worn out trying to hold it in. I can't do it. Jeremiah says, when God gives me a message, I will say, I'm not going to speak. But the things start burning in me like fire. Do you know many times I was listening to the word and I felt something is burning? Something is being burned. Some seed that Satan had sown in me, they are being burned. Some traps Satan had laid against me, the fire is burning them. Just by exposing yourself to the preaching. To the preaching is fire. Many of you are waiting to hear fire. Oh, just listen to the word. There is a quiet fire that is burning those negative habits that are destroying your life. There is a quiet fire that is burning those generational curses that you don't even know anything about. There is a quiet fire that is burning. Lastly, spoken words are like a hammer. Jeremiah 23 verse 29. Is not my word like fire, declares the Lord, and like a hammer that breaks a rock in pieces. Wow! The preaching of the word, when the word of God comes, it can come like a sword, it can come as a seed, it can come as a fire, it can come as a hammer. What is the hammer for? To break rocks. All these big things that are standing on your way, she will not get there. She will never get married. She will never amount to anything. He will never get a job. His life will never change. A big rock like this, God says, okay, let me try my hammer on you. Bang! And the thing is scattering. The thing is scattering. The thing is scattering. Receive your victory in the name of Jesus. Everybody just begin to thank God now for the word. Begin to thank God for the word. His word in your mouth will produce the same effect than his word in his mouth. Come on, begin to ask God to give you grace to honor his word. Grace to honor the word. Grace to not dissociate yourself from the word. Oh, somebody open your mouth and pray. Open your mouth and pray. Give me grace to use the power that you have given me. This power inside of me that I've been keeping inside. It's like a snake that has venom. A venom that can destroy, but he's not using it. May I want to use the power God has given me to dismantle every opposition. Come and begin to prophesy. Come and begin to pray. Come and begin to declare. Come and begin to preach. Open your mouth and prophesy. Open your mouth and pray. Open your mouth and preach. Prophesy, pray, preach. Prophesy, pray, preach. Use your tongue. Pray in tongues. Use your tongues. The same power that God placed in the tongue of the snake, God has given you power. God has given you power. Use your tongue. The Bible says the power of life and death is in the tongue. Kochele madovele gadamadaba. Father, as we are closing this series, I decree total victory over every dark area in anybody's life. We are awakening from darkness. We are awakening from obscurity. In the name of Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Quicken this morning, you heard the message. The Bible says if you confess with your mouth, if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, something will happen. You will be saved. We don't get saved by paying money. Do you believe that we get saved by words? The thing that moves you from hell to heaven, words. You just speak few words that you believe in your heart. And let me tell you something, that is how we get everything else, with words. Salvation comes through words. Healing comes through words. Promotion comes through words. Husband comes through words. Wife, anything comes with words. The Bible says, without the word was nothing created that has been created. The word creates everything. God used the word from the first book of the Bible, from the first chapter, the second chapter, and God said. So you want to be saved? It's with words. If you want to give your life to Jesus this morning, you are saying, Pastor, this message is for me. I want to get things right with God today. I want to move out of obscurity to the light. I want to come out of the dominion of darkness. The Bible says he has translated us from the kingdom of darkness to the kingdom of the Son of his love. You don't need to stay in that kingdom, brother. You don't need to stay in that kingdom, my sister. It's a kingdom of destruction. It's doomed to hell. Come over this side. Give your life to Jesus today. Accept him as your personal Lord and Savior. You'll never regret it. If that is you, you are saying, Pastor, I heard the message. I want to commit to God. At the count of three, please raise your right hand. 1, 2, 3. Raise it up. God bless you. God bless you. All of you that are raising, please don't be ashamed. Raise your hand if you say, I want to move to the kingdom of light. God is going to touch you right now. Please take your hands down. Now, quickly this morning, you are saying, Pastor, I already gave my life to Christ, but I have stopped using this power. In fact, these days I use my tongue to curse myself and to curse people, to speak negativity, to speak evil, to gossip, to complain. I've been using my tongue to say all kinds of evil things, and I've been brought under judgment instead of justification. Pastor, I want to come back home. I want my tongue to be used to build up people, not to tear them down. Pastor, I have used my tongue to even criticize you yourself. Pastor, please help me. Right now, please understand God wants to reach you. At the count of three, raise your hand and say, Pastor, I want a conversion of the tongue for a better future. One, two, three. Raise your right hand. And God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. What a blessing. Don't be ashamed. This is a moment between you and God. You are having an encounter. Your whole life is depending on this moment right now. You think this is a joke? No. We pray for a long time before I stand here to preach. So you need to understand, the Holy Ghost knows all of us. He speaks for a reason. Please, you can take your hands down. Now, we're going to pray this simple prayer. Mean every word you say. Say, Lord Jesus, I surrender my life to you today. Forgive me my sins. Wash me with your blood. I believe you died for me. On the third day you rose again, that I might be justified, not condemned. Right now, I believe my sins are forgiven. My words are washed. I'm justified by your blood. I'm saved. I'm restored. I'm forgiven. I'm born again. I'm a child of God. I am free from the power of sin, the power of Satan, the power of curses, the power of condemnation, the power of wrong words I spoke to serve the living God. Thank you, Jesus, for receiving me. I am free. Thank you, Jesus, for saving me. In Jesus' name, amen.